Rare is the coach who can motivate players to spend their lives seeking his approval. From the time Neely first put on a uniform in the sixth grade, he wanted Rake's attention. And for the next 6 years, with every pass he threw, every drill he ran, every play he memorized, every weight he lifted, every hour he spent sweating, every pregame speech he gave, every touchdown he scored, every game he won, every temptation he resisted, every honor roll he made, he coveted Eddie Rake's approval. He wanted to see Rake's face when he won the Heisman. He dreamed of Rake's phone call when Tech won the national title. And rare is the coach who compounds every failure long after the playing days are over. When the doctors told Neely he would never play again, he felt as if he had fallen short of Rake's ambition for him. When his marriage dissolved, he could almost see Rake's disapproving scowl. As his small-time real estate career drifted with no clear ambition, he knew Rake would have a lecture if he got close enough to hear it. Maybe his death would kill the demon that dogged him, but he had his doubts. Ellen Rake Young, the eldest daughter, walked to the podium when the choir was finished and unfolded a sheet of paper. Like her sisters, she had wisely fled Messina after high school and returned only when family matters required. Her father's shadow was too mammoth for his children to survive in such a small place. She was in her mid-40s, a psychiatrist in Boston, and had the air of someone who was out of place. She began, "On behalf of our family, I thank you for your prayers and support during these last weeks. My father died with a great deal of courage and dignity. Though his last years here were not some of his best, he loved this town and its people, and he especially loved his players." Love was not a word any of the players had ever heard their coach use. If he'd loved them, he'd had a strange way of showing it. She continued, "My father has written a short note that he asked me to read." She adjusted her reading glasses, cleared her throat, and focused on the sheet of paper. "This is Eddie Rake, speaking from the grave. If you are crying, please stop." This brought scattered laughter from the crowd, which was anxious for a light moment. "I've never had any use for tears. My life is now complete, so don't cry for me. And don't cry for the memories. Never look back. There's too much left to do. I'm a lucky man who lived a wonderful life. I had the good sense to marry Lila as soon as I could talk her into it. And God blessed us with three beautiful daughters, and at last count, 8 perfect grandchildren. This alone is enough for any man. But God had many blessings in store for me. He led me to football and to Messina, my home. And there I met you, my friends, and my players. Though I was emotionally unable to convey my feelings, I want my players to know that I cherished every one of them. Why would any sane person coach high school football for 34 years? For me, it was easy. I love my players. I wish I had been able to say so, but it was simply not my nature. We accomplished much, but I will not dwell on the victories and the championships. Instead, I choose this moment to offer 2 regrets." Ellen paused here and cleared her throat again. The crowd appeared to hold its collective breath. "Only 2 regrets in 34 years. As I said, I'm a lucky man. The first is Scotty Reardon. I never dreamed I would be responsible for the death of one of my players, but I accept the blame for his death. Holding him in my arms as he passed away is something I have wept over every day since. I have expressed these feelings to his parents, and, with time, I think they have forgiven me. I cling to their forgiveness and take it to my death. I am with Scotty now and for eternity, and as we look down together at this moment, we have reconciled our past." Another pause as Ellen took a sip of water. The second involves a state title game in 1987. At halftime, in a fit of rage, I physically assaulted a player, our quarterback. It was a criminal act, one that should have banned me from the game forever. I am sorry for my actions. As I watched that team rally against enormous odds, I have never felt such pride and such pain. That victory was my finest hour. Please forgive me, boys. Neely glanced around him. All heads were low. Most eyes were closed. Silo was wiping his face. Enough of the negative. My love to Lila and the girls and the grandkids. We'll all meet very soon across the river in the promised land. May God be with you. The choir sang, "Just a closer walk with thee," and the tears were flowing. Neely couldn't help but wonder if Cameron was keeping her emotions in check. He suspected that she was. Rake had asked three of his former players to deliver eulogies, short ones he had demanded in writing from his deathbed. The first was given by the Honorable Mike Hilliard, now a circuit court judge in a small town 100 miles away. Unlike most of the former Spartans, he wore a suit, one with wrinkles, and a crooked bow tie. He grabbed the podium with both hands and didn't need notes. "I played on Coach Rake's first team in 1958, he began in a squeaky voice with a thick drawl. "The year before, we won 3 games and lost 7, which back then was considered a good season because we beat Porterville in our final game. The coach left town, took his assistants with him, and for a while we weren't sure we'd find anyone to coach us. They hired this young guy named Eddie Rake, who wasn't much older than we were. The first thing he told us that we were a bunch of losers, that losing is contagious, that if we thought we could lose with him, then we could hit the door. 41 of us signed up for football that year.